And for this morning fact checker, this is where we debunk misinformation based on real evidence, real facts, trying to set the record straight. Joining us here are resident fact checker Adam Rowe in the studio. Good morning to you, sir.
Hello. I always like that name, resident fact checker.
Yeah, yeah, it gives some gravitas yeah, to you. What do you do for a living? I'm a resident fact checker for this morning. Yeah. We're going to fact check a couple of things here. First of all, this is an interesting kind of aftermath of the verdict that some people have been happy about, some people have been disappointed by, and for various reasons as well. Mixed reactions, to say the least, with the fact that the de facto leader, the vice chairman of Samsung, Lee Jae-yong, will be sentenced, is sentenced to 2.5 years of bribery. He was immediately placed in detention. Mm-hmm. Some say that, wow, this is going to be too harsh and Samsung's going to collapse. Others saying, why did he only get 2.5 years? Yeah. What do the polls say right now?
It certainly is a very divisive issue and a divisive and bipolar court ruling, and certainly in terms of the reaction. But there was a survey conducted recently by Realmeter. It was conducted on the 20th. It asked 500 adults in Korea their thoughts on the sentence. Now, 46% of the respondents said they thought 2.5 years was a bit too much. Mm. 25% said it was too light. Just under 22% said it was reasonable, and 7.5% said they were unsure. So just under half of the respondents actually thought the jail term was a bit too long, so far outnumbering those who said it was too light. Now, there's also been comments online saying that the court should have been a bit more lenient and given Lee a suspended prison sentence considering his contributions to society, in their words. And others have claimed that he should have been given lighter punishment because he was coerced into giving bribes by the previous Park Geun-hye administration. So it seems there's more support for Lee, I'd say, or thinking that the court ruling was a bit too harsh.
Yeah, to be fair, if you add up the two sides, let's say it was too light or appropriate, that comes out to, basically it becomes half
right,
feel yeah. that it's appropriate or maybe should be punished more, and then half feel that it's a bit too harsh. Interesting how court made this decision, because 2.5 years, inevitably you heard a lot of people talk about, well, so-and-so got a much longer sentence for something that we think is a lighter crime. Is this, again, this idea that the rich always get away with these legal violations, whereas the average person doesn't? So then what was the judge thinking? How did they come up with the sentencing?
Yeah, that is the question, really. But the legal process is a bit complicated, so I'll try to simplify things here, so bear with me. First, we have to actually look at what Lee was found guilty for. Now, the main charge, of course, that made the headlines is bribery, specifically using 70 billion won of Samsung's money. Now, because the kickbacks were used using company funds, embezzlement is also included in that. That's punishable with a 5-year to life imprisonment. For bribery, the punishment ranges from a maximum 20 million won fine to 5 years in jail. Now, in Lee's case, the court looked at two perspectives, positive reasoning for suspended sentencing and negative reasoning for suspended sentencing. Now, there must be two or more positive reasons than negative reasons for Lee to get a suspended sentence. Now, the positive examples include crimes committed on a small scale due to outside pressure, confession or whistleblowing, damages being recuperated, and victims not wanting to press charges. The negative aspects include repeated offences, intentional profiteering from crimes, seriousness of crime, and large amount of damages, etc. Now, for Lee, the positive reasonings the court deemed were passive involvement in a crime, now, and the damages being recuperated, and victim unwilling to press charges. But it also deemed the amount embezzled to be substantial, and also deemed the crime to be severe with huge damages. And when all is said and done, there was only one more positive reasoning compared to the negative ones. So the court felt that a suspended sentence was not deserved. So they balanced which cases are in favor of a suspended sentence, and it wasn't enough for that suspended sentence, basically.
So that, what you described, mainly kind of addressing the question, does he go to jail or not? What about then the length of the jail term? Mm. Was that sufficient for the crime?
Well, it seems that the 2.5 years is actually the court being a bit lenient towards the de facto chief, Lee Jae-yong. Now, the minimum term for embezzlement would have been 5 years to life, as I mentioned, but the court deemed that since Lee was offering bribes due to coercion and that the damages have been recovered, the minimum term time was reduced by half, so that amounts to 2.5 years. Now, and of course, there was Samsung, which was not willing to press charges for the embezzlement. Samsung would have been the victim because they had money taken away from them, but they were in support of E not getting the full term. Now, therefore, it is hard to say that E's imprisonment or prison sentence was actually too harsh. He actually got off a bit lightly in terms of the court's view anyway.
Well, it's going to be controversial no matter what, but we're going to stay with this kind of a big issue here with the Lee Jae-yong affair. There's a lot of headlines suggesting that private investors were suffering, and I don't know how much sympathy we give these private investors, but the Samsung shares did drop following the sentencing. Is all of that true?
Yes. Well, it did drop. I mean, that is true. Okay. In the numbers, it's just a simple fact that the shares of specifically Samsung Electronics, of which E is vice president, dropped on the day of the sentencing. But that seems to be just coincidental and not directly due to the court ruling, although it must have had a little bit of impact. It's hard to say that it didn't have any at all. Now, news of the jail term sent Samsung Electronics share prices lower by more than 3% on that day. Now, that is a big drop, but at the time, the benchmark KOSPI was also falling pretty much across the board. So it seems that the drop in Samsung Electronics shares was mostly due to a downturn in the overall market, not really singling out this case. Now, the firm managed to claw back some ground for the next few days following the ruling, so it wasn't really much of a problem. The lost market value of 28 trillion won was also mostly recovered as well. Now, we could see the same trend back previously when E was detained for the first time, and also when the late chairman Egon E was reported to have had a heart attack as well. So in general, E's imprisonment did not really have a big impact on Samsung Electronics finances, and this seems to be the case with a lot of these big companies. Just because their chairman or their CEO is imprisoned for whatever, it doesn't really affect the kind of the finances of the company itself, and it seems to they seem to manage okay in terms of their finances and performance.
And you would hope that would be the case of a major conglomerate, right? That would be independent of the so-called dynastical leadership there.
That's very specific to Korea as well. I think if I feel this happened to the Apple CEO, Tim Cook or someone, or Elon Musk
goes to jail, you would rightly kind of consider that should have an effect. But this is, as you say, a very different situation. Let's talk about the Blue House now. They've been trying to do some damage control over the media painting the comments of President Moon in regards to adoptive parents being somewhat kind of outrageous about canceling adoptions. What was the explanation the Blue House had to say?
Yeah, so for just those of you who don't know, for context, this was happening during Moon's New Year's press conference. A reporter asked him what the government was doing to prevent child abuse in light of the recent death of a 16-month-old baby who allegedly suffered months of abuse at the hands of her adopted parents. This sparked public outcry and made the headlines. Moon replied that there should be complementary measures allowing would-be adoptive parents to cancel the adoption, or if they still want to adopt a child, they should be able to change the child. Now, that is what sparked the anger from the public and also opposition lawmakers, who said the president was pretty much equating adoption with shopping for a child, saying these would-be adoptive parents could basically refund the child if they wanted to. Now, Changwade spokesperson Kang Min-suk repeatedly stressed that Moon's true intention had been misconstrued. Kang said the president was referring to a grace period before an adoption is finalized, when potential adopters care for a child as foster parents. Now, he went on to say that foster care systems are in place in countries like France, the UK, as well as Sweden.
Right. So regarding the foster system, what kind of scheme is in place in Korea?
Yeah, so Korea has been running kind of these similar programs, but they haven't kind of been institutionalized yet and aren't mandatory. Now, prospective adoptive parents who want to take care of adoptees can do by applying for early foster care. Now, this does not mean they are legally the adoptive parents yet. This process is for those who want to take care of the adoptees before the legal procedures for adoption are completed, which often takes time. This way, the to-be adoptive parents can spend time with the children at an early stage and get to know them better and earlier. Now, the program, which the Blue House spokesperson mentioned as being similar to other countries, is not actually found in the UK, not yet at least. Now, in the UK, for example, prospective adoptive parents who want to adopt a child must take care of them for 10 weeks prior to approval. In France, Hong Kong and a few other nations, it's at least 6 months, so there's a longer period. Now, this period is not really a time for building close relationships with the children, although it does have that effect somewhat, but it's more focused of being a test of the adoptive parents and the environment the child may be raised in. There's also training programs in place for the couples wanting to adopt during this period. And these are all done by the government in the respective countries, not private foster homes like you can see in Korea. Now, but the government and the ruling Democratic Party are looking to make into law a pre-adoption foster care system that is designed to act as a means to verify adoptive parents' ability to raise a child. So basically, there's no legal system in place where this kind of pre-adoption process takes place, for the moment anyway.
Okay, well, we definitely appreciate you clarifying that for us. Mm-hmm. Adam, we'll leave it there. Thank you as always, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
See you next week.